I'd like to call the Public Works Committee meeting together, and we have the agenda before us. Are there any additions or omissions, please? I see none, so I'll ask for a motion to approve the agenda as presented. Councillor Greenwood? Good show. And then you'll, somebody will flag me if a hand comes up on the screen there, please. So we're going through the agenda, so any declaration of conflict of interest from the councillors here? I see none. So we'll move to number four, which is the Public Works Carry Forward Action List. And Haydar, you'll take us through this, please.
Yeah, I will. Thank you. So there are two items on the action list. One is regarding whether there was grant funding available for rebuilding grid roads that were compromised due to weather. I think the question was posed last time. And we did take a look and we didn't find any new grants that we're not already aware of or already utilizing. Having said that, we always continue searching in case there's a new announcement that comes, whether from the federal or the provincial government, that might be related to that. But at this time, we didn't find anything new that we're not already utilizing or are aware of.
All right, thank you.
The second one is related to sign replacements, those worn sign replacements. And then there was a request for a specific installation where the sign can't be viewed properly from the different angles that's installed. So we've discussed that internally, and our intent is to utilize one of the general labor positions this summer to help with speeding up the sign replacements over the summer to hopefully get caught up on those. And with respect to the specific request about that one sign where it's not quite lining up, this was reviewed, and it looks like the post has twisted, so the signs are not facing straight on when driving. So this is something that we'll be replacing in the spring once the ground thaws out and we'll be able to get it replaced.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions from the Action Forward Carry List? I assume we can take the first one off because that's completed. Are there any questions from the council here? I see none, so I'll ask for a motion to accept it as information. Councillor Trask, all in favor? It's carried. All right. In-house projects, number five. Who's going to take us through that one? Blake. Welcome, Blake. Make sure you speak up, please.
Yep. Good morning, Council. We're discussing the 2026 in-house construction projects. Infrastructure and Public Works has
identified. Use the mic.
Sorry. Is it on? Yeah. I'll turn up the mic. Maybe Councillor James, maybe just turn off.
Turn mine off. All right.
Try that again. So Infrastructure and Public Works has identified a series of in-house construction projects for the 26 construction season based on observed road conditions, operational needs, safety considerations, and opportunities to improve long-term maintenance efficiency. The proposed program is intended to be completed using internal resources subject to weather, spring runoff, and equipment availability. Public Works has also identified additional projects for the 27 construction planning horizon. These projects are provided for contingency and sequencing purposes to allow flexibility should conditions affect the 2026 program. So we have three projects spanning 5 miles of proposed work. The first project is Range Road 3073, also known as the Langham Grid, from Township Road 380 to 382. This is in Division 8. Currently, this road exhibits significant clay cap deterioration, poor wet weather performance, and some of the sections lack adequate ditching, limiting snow storage and drainage capacity. So what we're proposing is a clay cap upgrade and ditch regrading for 2 miles. Improved surface stability and longevity with enhanced drainage and runoff control will be seen as a benefit. Reconstructed ditches will improve snow storage and winter maintenance, reducing gravel frequency and greater upkeep while improving public traffic safety. The second project that we're looking at is Range Road 3070 from 350 to 352. That's in Division 4. Currently, we've got inconsistent surface conditions with localized areas of soft, sandy material interspersed with sections in generally good condition. Ditching along the roadway is inconsistent, with some segments lacking defined ditches altogether. In fact, there are some inverted ditches in there where the ditches are actually higher than the road. At the north end of the road, near the intersection with the paved section of Vansquay Road, inadequate ditching contributes to reduced sight lines due to snow windrows and water pooling during spring runoff and rainfall events. Again, there we're proposing a clay cap and ditch construction for 2 miles. Some of the sections won't require a full 6-inch clay cap. We'll kind of be, as we're working in those sections, just addressing them somewhat localized. The benefits to this work: we will see enhanced drainage and runoff control, reducing moisture retention and surface softening during spring melt and rainfall events, improved road stability, surface consistency. Improvements near the north intersection approach will enhance the sight lines, improve winter safety, and improved operational efficiencies will be seen, support safer and more reliable year-round access while reducing ongoing maintenance demands. And finally, we have Range Road 3043 from Township Road 393 to 394 in Division 5. Currently, the existing road surface is generally in good condition. The majority of this project focuses on the ditch improvements. We have operational challenges there due to the absence of proper ditches, resulting in minimal snow storage capacity. We're often required to deploy equipment to push snow back from the road. And during spring melt conditions, surface runoff is unable to drain away, causing moisture to remain on the road surface, leading to softening and surface erosion. So what we're looking at there is really constructing and grading proper ditches on both sides of the roads for 1 mile. So we should see improved drainage and runoff control, reduced moisture retention on the road surface, limiting the softening and erosion during spring melt conditions. Enhanced ditch capacity will provide improved snow storage, reducing the need for repeated snow pushback operations, and improving winter maintenance efficiency. We will end up with a more reliable year-round access while reducing ongoing operational demands and creating a safer road. I will briefly also touch on the 2027 projects. These are obviously less firm, but we do have Range Road 3084 that Hyder talked about earlier. The south 2 miles, 370 to 372, potential clay cap renewal. Township Road 390, Warman city limits to Range Road 3052. That would be a 1 mile of full rebuild with ditch improvements. Township Road 384 from Highway 16 to Range Road 3070, 1 mile of clay cap and ditch improvements. And finally, Township Road 384 from Range Road 3084 to 3085, 1 mile of profile improvements to reduce the sharp crests and dips in the road. So that pretty much sums it up. So recommendation that Public Works Committee receive this report as information.
All right, thank you, Blake. I'll open it up for council. Any comments on the four proposed in-house work projects as presented by Blake? Councillor Greenwood, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for coming into Division 4 and doing some work. I just wondered, kind of off topic, Hodgson Road had some soft spots on it. What is the condition of Hodgson Road? Pretty good now?
Hodgson Road, which section?
From Valley Road to the turnoff to the...
There's still some sandy pockets in there. Like, we did address some of that with calcium chloride. It seems to be better now that that intensive haul that was going down Carmart Road, I think you're probably familiar with that.
Yeah.
That seems to be better. I wouldn't say that we're completely happy with all of it in there, but it's certainly better than it was.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing in my division. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Balzer, please.
Thank you, Councillor Germs. Blake, good morning. Question for you is, and I appreciate you didn't have any kind of notice, but for example, you have 3073 in this year's plan and 3084 Lynn Road in next year's plan. Well, I'm wondering how you differentiated those two projects from year to year, and then just hearing today's delegation. And the thing that struck me from the conversations earlier is, you know, and I do know this from personal use of the Lynn Road, when I know exactly what they're talking about. When it there's been some heavy rains, you cannot go on that road. There's other roads like that throughout the area. I know that. But I'm just thinking of these residents in that area in the West. They really don't have any other options. Like, that is their only access and egress for their residences. But when I look at the Langham grid and look at that, I don't know exactly where this is on the Langham grid, but I do know you're further east. And although it's a north-south commuter, all those residents in that area have options of east and west to get out of their properties. And I'm just wondering, should we maybe focus or swap these two projects? What's the impact to your budget? Because I see you don't have a budget costing on the 2027, obviously. But I would, I think it would be prudent for us to kind of consider that. Move 3073 into 27, move 3084 into 2026. Questions, statements, anything you got?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. The main reason why 3084 wasn't on 2026 is because if you drive it, and which you clearly have, you'll notice all the ditches are out there. So we have 80 centimeters to 1 meter ditches everywhere on that particular section. When you drive some of these other projects that are proposed for this year, there are no ditches. And so when we clay cap and when we rebuild these roads, generally most of that clay comes from the ditch right adjacent from the road. We're using scrapers. We're not hauling, you know, half mile, 1 mile distances with these. So ideally, you know, we want to see that clay as close to the road as possible. Now on 3084, the reason why it's proposed for 2027, we need a little bit more lead time for planning. We need to reach out to some people, and we're going to need to get borrow sources for that clay. We won't find it in the ditches. That's the main reason.
Okay. Thanks. So for example, then this past summer, I understand when we were rebuilding 384 that we had a bit of an issue in Burrow Pit, unexpected short resource on Burrow Pits for that clay and that buildup. Is that right?
That's right, and I would like to avoid that in the future if possible.
So walk me through how that happened.
Well, basically, when we went out there, we had done test holes, but ultimately, it's a bit of a crapshoot. You do the best that you can. You dig your test holes. You make your estimates on what you have for clay. We ran short on that and ended up needing a borrow source is what happened. We ended up with more topsoil. That can always happen. There's always unforeseens.
Finished, Councillor Bolzer? Councillor Prune, please.
Yeah, good morning, Blake. I'm dealing with the 3043 in my division. A couple questions, because obviously I'm aware of, because you know that I communicate with you when it happens, the 394 and the 3043 flood every spring. Is this meant to try to prevent the flooding of that intersection?
Yes, it should help with that, because as you know, there are no ditches there. That water on the west side of the road is meant to go south down to Blumenheim, but it really, if there is no ditch to convey it, it does go that way. We have LiDAR imagery, we know it goes that way, but ultimately it ends up on the road, goes down the road, across the road, and south. So yeah, that's what we're really trying to address. If we get the ditches in there, we'll have more capacity to hold the snow, and we won't have to send the loaders out there. I know you see them probably every March and April, we're pushing that snow back, trying to keep it off the road.
And you sort of alluded to it, so I think I already know, but you're going to send the water to the Blumenheim then with these ditches. That's the goal?
It's still, it already goes to Blumenheim, so we're not changing any of the drainage. I want to be clear about that.
it might speed it up. It might get there quicker. Hopefully it gets there more efficiently. And what I mean by that is it stays in the ditch and not coming down the road. But we won't be changing any directional flow of the drainage. Still going the way it already is.
And then my final question to this one is, just because you're not doing any rebuild here and you're basically taking off vegetation and topsoil out of the ditches, have you already secured a spot there? Because what are you going to do with the product, I guess? That's curious.
We have a pretty good idea that there's a lot of topsoil over there based on some of the test work we've done and other work we've done in the area. I know in speaking with you previously, there are some farmers around there that would take the topsoil, providing we can get it close enough. This project's staged for the last one of the year. Hopefully, crop will be off at that point. There may be some opportunity for some topsoil to be just basically, if we can find some farmers around there that will take it, that's great. I still do anticipate there will be some clay in there. And we'll likely need some clay just to address some of the, you know, as you're working on that road with the buggies, you're going to see some damage. Any other clay, too, we have the opportunity to improve the intersection. You know which intersection we're talking about, 43 and 394. If we do end up with excess clay, we still have the option, too, of running it on 394 to the east. And you'll be well aware of that low spot that's in there. Where we can't really do anything with the drainage because it's already a saddle point, but what we could do is raise the road. So that's kind of what our plan is there.
Mr. Chair, my suggestion to Public Works on this with the soil in this case is that they would purposely reach out to the agriculture producers that farm on each side of the road, because during the dry years in the early 2000s and in 2022 and 23, when it was dry and the wind was flying, it's probably most of their topsoil that has filled those ditches. So I'd strongly encourage them to go back to those producers and ask them if they have spots in those quarter sections where they can just, which is very beneficial for us financially as well. So that'd be my encouragement for Public Works today.
So Councillor Prim, you want to make that as a recommendation or just a friendly gesture to Public Works?
I don't want to bind their hands to it. So I think it's just a recommendation or an action item. They've heard it today. They know what I'm telling them on this one. So I don't want to add to their recommendation.
All right, thank you. Any more questions on the four in-house projects or the 27 construction planning horizon projects from council? I see none, so I will ask for a recommendation that's on the report here from a member of council, Councillor Hadouk. So all in favor? It's carried.
Beaver Policy EP003, Public Works C26-006. Who's going to take us through this one?
I will. Good morning, Council. So in 2013, Council approved the Beaver Control Policy to provide for the removal of nuisance beavers and beaver dams within the RM. Under the current policy, landowners may request the removal of nuisance beavers or beaver dams on private property at the cost of the RM. The policy also provides for a bounty to be paid for each beaver tail in accordance with the SARM Beaver Control Program, which is no longer part of the program. Administration is proposing that where a beaver dam located on private property is directly impacting landowners' property, that the cost of removal would be the responsibility of the individual landowners. And where a beaver dam located on private property is directly causing damage to RM-owned property or infrastructure, the RM will work with the landowner to have the beaver dam removed at the RM's cost. The current beaver control program that is administered by SARM provides funding up to a maximum of 50% of the cost to remove an adult nuisance beaver and up to 50% of cost to a $500 maximum rebate for beaver deceivers and levelers. Landowners in the RM can still take part in this program as long as they follow the requirements in the program. With the proposed repeal of the beaver control policy, the RM will no longer administer or fund beaver removal on bounties on private property and will rely on the SARM beaver control program. And the recommendation is that the Public Works Committee recommends to Council to rescind beaver control policy EP003 and that the RM directly align its beaver control with the SARM's beaver control program.
All right, Council, any comments or discussion on this proposed recommendation brought forward? Councilor Prume.
Yeah, good morning. You alluded to on private property. Can you explain to me if there's any change whatsoever? Because I couldn't read it in here, dealing with like public waterways. So like in my case, in my division, I have the Apimaha Creek, which has some beavers that like to work there. So how's this going to impact that? Is there going to be an impact?
I guess if it's not affecting, like if that beaver dam isn't affecting like roadways or flooding of roads, or then it would be up to the landowner to pay for the cost of the removal, but they could still apply for the funding, so it would be funding available for it.
I guess in that case, hearing your answer, if that's correct, then I can't move along with this recommendation, because I know what's happened in the Apimaha Creek the last 2 years, where the beaver's building a dam. It's affecting the 3050 road structure on the west side of the North 40 lagoons. Like, it's impacting our capital infrastructure of the RM. So that's why I'm asking.
If it's affecting our roads, then we would pay for it as the RM.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's only if it doesn't affect any RM property or infrastructure, then it would be up to the landowner to pay. But because that affects our roads, then we would pay for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a catch 22 because it does hit some acreages before it hits the road. So then it's an order of who calls who. Do you wait to us? Yeah. Anyways. I'm not sure. You've tried to answer my concern, but I do have concerns with it a little, because I do think we should be bearing the brunt of these things myself. But.
All right. Ader, do you have a comment with the Councillor Prim's question?
No, I think Jessica had answered it. I was just going to clarify. If there is an impact to any RM infrastructure, the RM would pay for that. It's only in the case where it's there's no impact to the infrastructure of the RM, then it would be the landowner's cost. And the reason this came about is because there was an interesting request that came in about the RM having to remove a beaver dam that typically wouldn't impact the RM's infrastructure. But there was a point to the existing policy that they were pointing to, that according to your policy, well, you're required to move it if we make the request. So that's kind of what triggered the review of this policy. And that's where we're trying to limit our exposure and liability, that if there's no impact to the RM's infrastructure, then that should be on the landowner to do it. But if there is an impact, then we would be responsible for it. And there's the SARM program that would fund up to 50% of that. But that's kind of what we're proposing today. But we're certainly open to Council's thoughts and considerations.
All right. Thank you. Councillor Trask, please.
So if a beaver dam isn't in the Apimaha Creek, whose property is that? Who owns the Apimaha Creek?
I can't answer that. Would administration want to answer that? Who owns the property in the creek, Apimaha Creek?
Responsible for the Apimaha Creek.
I believe it's private land. Correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Prune, but I believe the bulk of it, where it flows, it's on private land. It's not designated as environmental reserve or anything like that. Is that correct?
You are correct, but that's why I'm questioning all this, because waterways to me are public, irregardless if they flow through private property. And it was on, Councillor
Trump. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that the actual creek itself, because we have Apimaha Creek board, or what do you call it, I thought that creek almost would fall under our jurisdiction to be responsible to. That's what I'm wondering, because you don't actually own, if you own land that it runs through, same as Eagle Creek or any other creek, you don't actually own the creek, right?
if you're asking me, I can't answer that. So I don't know. Councillor Prune, do you have any comments on that? I think she was directing those comments.
I don't know who would know, but I just.
Well, Councillor Balzer and I both sit on the Pimahawk Creek board, but this is a situation where you have one jurisdiction that oversees the creek. But I guess I'm more concerned altogether to trying to wrap my head around my own question and yours now is at the end of the day is irregardless to me, these beavers in a creek like this are impacting the municipality. And I don't want to get into it's private land versus non-private in these kind of situations. To me, it's like we should be taking the bull by the horn and blowing these things out of the water so that the water can properly flow. That's
kind of what I'm thinking, that the fact that it's in the creek, it should be the RM's responsibility, I would think. But that's kind of a thinking question.
You're finished, Councillor Trask?
Yeah, I guess.
For now. Okay, Councillor Greenwood, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm wondering if we can take the recommendation where it's that the RM direct the Alliance Beaver Control with SARM's Beaver Control Program with decisions for beaver dam removal coming to council. And in this way, when there's an issue, like with Opimina Creek, that we can make the final decision as to whether we're going to pay for it or we're going to let the ratepayer absorb it. What is administration's perspective and what is my fellow councillors' perspectives? Thank you.
Does anybody have a comment on Councillor Greenwood's question?
Hayter, how many requests do we get a year?
I'll defer that question to Blake, maybe if he knows the number.
I think last year it was two that we had. Some years are more, like obviously when there's more runoff, some of those flood years, we probably saw, I will say probably 10 to a dozen on the worst years. But like I said, last year was two, I think.
Yeah, so council could look at Councillor Greenwood's recommendation, or we could refer it back to bring it back to the next committee meeting with more information on creek ownership, et cetera, as has been brought up today. And council can make a more informed decision, but either way, administration will move forward with that.
All right, Councillor Prune, please.
Yeah, to Blake's comment, I guess. Are the majority of the beavers involved in your calls, are they on the Opimaha, or are they all through the, because if it's predominantly the Opimaha, then I'd like to know that, because that may just drive where my thoughts or discussion would go, Blake, because I know two spots on the Opimaha where we definitely have beaver problems. So.
Last year, 50% of the calls were on the Opimaha. But that's not historically where we've seen the worst of it. The worst of it's generally, out west, 392, closer to some of the gravel pits, is where it's the worst.
All right, thank you. Councillor Trask, please.
Could we hear David's recommendation again, please?
David, would you repeat your, are you prepared to make a recommendation, Councillor Greenwood?
I certainly can.
Sure, let's hear it.
So let me just go open this here. Where the recommendation from administration is that the RM direct the Alliance Beaver Control with the SARM's Beaver Control Program with decisions for beaver dam removal coming to council.
All right, so there's a recommendation on the floor. Does anybody wish to speak to the recommendation that's presented by Councillor Greenwood on the floor?
Just one comment, sir, before voting on that particular recommendation. Is the concern preliminarily with the Opimaha Creek, because I'm thinking, should we exempt that if that's the concern, where the RM would be responsible for beaver dam removal along the Opimaha Creek and then leave the rest the same? Or is it more so just in general that council would like to see these requests come in every time there's a request for beaver dam removal?
Sure. Councillor Trask, please.
I would like to see it just exempting Opimaha Creek beaver dams and then have it, the rest of them have this new removal option with the exemption to Opimaha Creek, because I don't believe it's for ratepayers that are impacted from a beaver dam in Opimaha Creek. I don't think they should be responsible for that. That's my thought.
Any more comments before I ask Councillor Greenwood to Councillor Hadouk, please?
Yeah, I'm not following this whole thing. Why are we, what are the positives to rescinding? Why not keep it the way it was? What are the, what are we gaining or what are we losing or what can someone explain that?
Well, there's a recommendation from Councillor Greenwood, and I guess you'll have to explain.
Well, I was just right off the bat. I was like not getting it. Why wouldn't we just keep it the same as it was? What are we losing? Or what if we only have 12 or a year, what is the?
Because our former policy was based on basically a beaver bounty that was provided through funding through SARM, and that no longer exists. So our policy as it stands right now, it really doesn't, it's not applicable because there's no process to recover any of the funds and things through SARM. So we do need a new policy regardless of which direction we go.
All right, Councillor Prune, please.
Sorry, I'm going to take the mic so many times here, but I'm just trying to follow up to Councillor Hadouk's comment here, I guess, is underlying what is actually the cost to the RM year by year financially? Like if the cost is $10,000 or $20,000, like for the benefit of our ratepayers to just take care of this problem, like let's just make the thing go away and make the new policy meet that. Then if it doesn't meet the present one from 2013, I guess that's...
Councillor Trask? Please.
I was just going to ask what the cost is to remove a beaver dam.
Does anybody from administration know what the cost is to remove a beaver dam?
It can be fairly inexpensive, but I know the one that Hyder had brought up, that would have been very expensive. I don't think we could have done, well, I know we couldn't have done it in-house, just the terrain, we couldn't have got there. It would have taken specialized equipment. And the people that were dealing with it, I think they were very wary of the costs as well. That's why they were coming to us. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that one there might have been 20 plus thousand just for that one. That's an anomaly. I wouldn't say that would be very often the case. Usually they're fairly inexpensive, but that's why this has come to light.
Well, thank you, Blake. Are there any more comments? We have a recommendation on the floor from Councillor Greenwood. You can speak to it.
Thank you, Chair. So I guess I've been asked for a friendly amendment, and I just would like to clarify if this is the amendment that has been asked for with the changing it from the decision for beaver dam removal coming to council with the exemption of Opimina Creek where beaver dams are removed at the cost of the RM. Is that correct? Is that what we're looking for?
Councillor Trask, I guess he's asking you for... Okay.
I'll apologize too for taking up the mic so much. Now my concern is if a ratepayer come forward and say, well, why Opimina and not Eagle Creek or another creek, so that I'm concerned about that. Where did Blake go? So Blake, a regular beaver dam, like are we talking $500 or $1,000 or?
Yeah, that's what we would be talking about. If we could get machinery in there, it's not much. Sometimes it doesn't even take machinery. They can be manually removed, and that's usually the best. It's just that this one particular one was very close to a CN rail track. Couldn't use any explosives. You couldn't get equipment into it. It was very deep. There was a lot of issues with it. Usually fairly inexpensive.
Can I keep asking, are we doing anything preventative to keep that from being rebuilt there?
Well, I don't even think it's been removed yet.
Oh.
Are you aware, Hyder?
I'm not. I can follow up and see if it has been removed or not. But I know it was a conversation that involved CN, the kind of the applicant, and it was on private land within the RM. So we don't have control over necessarily that land. We'd have to work with the landowner. And again, that's what triggered this whole thing. When that request came up and realized the cost that could be involved with the existing policy, we wanted to review this and see, do we want to keep this exposure or do we want to look at changing it where it's more aligned with the current SARM practices?
All right, Kerry, does that complete your questions, Councillor Trask? Okay, Kerry, you got a comment here, please.
So there is a motion on the floor, so that motion does require to be voted on. But another alternative could be that the RM will cover the costs and we bring back a report in 2 years and then council can redebate, you know, based on the costs and impacts and everything else. You know, we can kind of do it over like a kind of a pilot project where we'll cover those costs over a 2-year period. We'd come back with a report in 2028 that would basically outline our experiences over those 2 years. Then council at that time can debate that to determine if it to continue with the process of covering the costs or be able to bring alternatives in.
All right. Thank you, Kerry. We have to Councillor Greenwood. We have a recommendation. Did you
so
is it amended or what is it?
I'm thinking that if this in my perspective, if this moves forward, we might want to put a cost limit of like $2,000 or something. I'm going to withdraw my recommendation and maybe let somebody who is a farmer who has a better understanding of beaver dams as a whole make a recommendation that covers all the bases. Thank you.
I guess the floor is open, folks.
Then as our CAO made the comments too, I would like to make that the recommendation. Collect, pay it right now for the next 2 fiscal years, come back with a report in 2028. We get more data that's useful to actually make an informed decision.
All right, there's a recommendation on the floor. Does anybody need that repeated? Clear as mud? Any discussion? I'll ask for the vote. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Okay. Done with that one. Number 7, I guess we're adjourned. A motion to adjourn. Thank you, Jessica.